Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. You are so awesome in your love for us and in the details that you demonstrate your love to us. We praise you and thank you. We do have ears to hear, and we are hearing your word today. For we want to hear specifically your love every day. We want to hear your words of encouragement. We want to hear your words of edification. We want to hear your words of guidance, your words of direction. We just want to hear you. And we thank you that you love us so much that you've made it possible for us to hear you and to receive from you on an ongoing basis. We love you and praise you, Jesus. Now we're ready to hear your word as you just share it this morning. It's all to your glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. I laugh because I hope you heard all the things the Lord just spoke through Diane. Because think about, let those words be fresh in your mind. Because it leads in perfectly to the things we're going to talk about today. It's as though Diane, I sent her my notes, which I didn't, but it's as though she had the notes. But that is just how awesome the Holy Spirit is. Amen. Yes, the Holy Spirit had the notes because he gave them to me. Apparently he gave them to Diane first, then he gave them to me afterwards. Before I forget, just as you guys depart today, I appreciate you guys take time to talk. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me, but there's some faces that are here that are new, and I just... And I'm sorry to embarrass you again, Christian, but it just makes me so happy. You guys know that, if you know me really well, you know that most of my, Pastor Jim Menke was my, he's my pastor, he's my mentor, he's my friend, he's my brother. In so many ways, he was a father figure to me. He was all of those things, and he still is. And so Don and I spent 20 years driving down to Lima every day, just every Sunday, just because we wanted to be in service with them. And so Christian is Pastor Menke's grandson. Christian is in the back. He has his girlfriend, Katie. And yes, give applause because, let me tell you why. He's like family to me because I was there when, Don and I were there when his mom and dad got married. My goodness, and here he is. He and Katie are at BGSU. So it just touches my heart that they're here. So make sure you say hi to them and anyone else that you see that you don't know their faces. All right, so I always do a little bit of review. Before I do that, does anybody know what's going on tonight? Why is tonight significant? Well, you're close. Well, opening day was before. This is the World Series. So the Kansas City Royals can win the World Series tonight. I have some certain affections for Kansas City. So tonight, watch as they possibly win. Thanks for at least trying to participate, Jessica. All right, so the last 3 weeks, what we've been talking about, we have been learning how to hear the voice of the Lord in our souls. I mean, what you just saw, you know, when Diane gives a word, when Jim gives a word, when you hear those things, this is what we should be experiencing every single day of our lives because Jesus is talking to us. So we've spent 3 weeks learning to hear the voice of the Lord in our lives. And we've used as an example primarily Simeon and Ananias. And I guess two of the main points that we learned early on from this was that there's an internal and an external value for each one of us. There's an internal and an external value for us hearing the voice of the Lord in our lives. So we learn the internal value from the example of Simeon. Because when Simeon, when we hear the word, the example that we saw from Simeon, when we hear the word, we get daily, personal edification and encouragement directly from Jesus. That is great internal value. The external value we get from hearing the Lord, we learn from the example of Ananias. And that's when we hear the Lord, he can then use us to speak his word into the lives of other people, to strengthen them and encourage them. And if you've had this experience, there is nothing more fulfilling in life. There is nothing more fulfilling than when you know Jesus has used you to influence and impact somebody else. So that's the internal and the external value that we get when we hear the voice of Jesus, when we hear him speaking to us. Now, last week we learned specifically that it's easy for us to hear the voice of Jesus. It's no more difficult than it was for Simeon to pick up the word in the flesh when he held the infant Jesus in his arms. And remember, he had heard from the Lord. He heard the promise from the Lord that he would not depart from this life until he saw the Lord's Christ. We also, last week, spent a lot of time considering our physical ear, the physical ear that God created and gave us. And in that creation, he made that creation of your physical ear with such precision that we can hear things with amazing sensitivity. And as a new creation in Jesus Christ, you've been given a spiritual ear that is designed. It's designed to be able to hear his voice with that same precision and sensitivity that we learned about last week. And then we also spent some time last week seeing that when we hear the voice of Jesus, when we hear him in our own lives, it gives us a sense of balance. It gives us a sense of guidance. It gives us a sense of direction. Just as your natural ear, it's in your natural ear that you also get that sense of balance in your life. Your balance in your natural life, you can be balanced because of your ear and how God created your ear. So these are the things we looked at last week. Now there's one other thing we looked at in some detail. We looked at Ananias. And Ananias, as you remember the story, Ananias heard the voice of the Lord. And because he heard the voice of the Lord and he listened, Ananias was then able to prepare Paul for the work that God had prepared for him. Now, I happened to find this. I don't know why I even saw it, but the reason I want to show it to you, here's the 3-minute video I just want to show you, because it kind of gives you a synopsis. This video in illustration shows you in 3 minutes what took me 15 minutes to share with you last week. So let's look at that and we'll be caught up. Okay, so I saw that and I thought, as soon as I saw that, he pointed out that he even gave him the address, the street, said, oh, I got to show that. Sometimes illustrations are better than words. The only downside with that video, That music sounds like an old Clint Eastwood Western. And you're going to be hearing that the rest of the morning in your head, because for like 3 days I've had that going through my head. So we saw that Ananias heard the voice of the Lord, and then he was used to help prepare Paul for his ministry, that ministry that was following his road to Damascus experience. Now, if we go further on in the book of Acts, though, we see that Paul himself actually relates that same story. He talks about that conversion, and he talks about it in such a way that in seeing that version, it gives us an even greater understanding of what it is to hear the voice of the Lord, to hear his voice in our lives. So in Acts chapter 22, and we'll go there in just a second, but in Acts 22, here's the background. Paul is taken physically from the temple in Jerusalem by the Jews. In fact, all of Jerusalem is in an uproar because of Paul. Roman soldiers have to come and actually intervene, and they're taking Paul to a place of safety amidst all these continued shouts from all these Jewish people as they're shouting out, "He's not fit to live." And then Paul, as he's ascending the steps to the Roman soldiers' barracks, he turns and he speaks these words to the Jews that are assembled and are still crying out against him. This is Acts chapter 22. I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. Now it happened, and again, this is Paul sharing. Last week we read in Acts chapter 9 the story. This is Paul sharing with others the story of his conversion. Now it happened as I journeyed and I came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there you'll be told all things which are appointed unto you to do.' And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hands by those who were with me, I came into Damascus." Now, I want you to consider something from that text. Those men that were with Paul on that road, they saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. See, we give priority to seeing, but that's not Jesus' priority. And because our priority is off, we then, like those men, we wind up missing the opportunity to hear the voice of Jesus himself speaking. First, give priority to hearing the voice of Jesus. Then you will see. Then you will realize and experience the other things that come with him. See, those men, they saw the light. But think about this. They saw the light, but seeing only and not hearing, they were afraid. Paul, he heard the voice of the Lord. They saw and didn't hear, and so they were in fear. As you go through your life, if you go day by day by only seeing and not hearing the voice of the Lord, as these men did, we're going to get the exact same result that they got. We tend to operate in fear and not in faith. Faith is where we're able to see all of those promises, all of the richness, all of the good things, all of the great positive blessings that Jesus has for us. God always has an order to everything he does, right? God always has things in order. And so it benefits us. We do well to heed his order. Paul heard first. He first heard the voice of the Lord, then he received his sight. Again, think about that. God has an order. Paul first heard the voice of the Lord, then he received his sight. And he received his sight from the word of the Lord that came through Ananias. Now here's the words that Jesus spoke to Paul, Saul, Paul, through Ananias. We're going to go just a few verses down further where we were. This is Acts chapter 22. I'm going to read verse 14, but I'm going to show it to you from the Amplified Bible. And he said, the God of our forefathers has destined and appointed you to come progressively. So this is the word of Jesus being spoken to Paul. He's appointed you to come progressively to know his will, to perceive, to recognize more strongly and clearly, and to become better and more intimately acquainted with his will. And to see the righteous one, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and to hear a voice from his own mouth and a message from his own lips, that's really very personal. Too often what happens is we get content with hearing from the Lord through others. Now look, there's great value in hearing from the Lord through others. Don't minimize that. But we tend to get spiritually lazy. Then we tend to rely on others to hear from the Lord when we should be hearing his voice ourselves. We need to hear his voice. See, Paul went to the next level. Paul heard the voice of Jesus Christ himself. That's the next level. That's the level that you and I are at. That's the level that we should expect. And in this, Paul came to progressively know Jesus. It's in that hearing that he came to progressively, day by day, this is what we can expect. As we're hearing him, we can expect to progressively know him more. There is an intimacy in knowing that we lack if we're not hearing. We need to become like Paul. We need to be able to hear from the very mouth of Jesus himself. We need to develop that intimacy with Christ that comes from directly hearing from his own lips. We tend to operate backwards. We, seeing only, then try to believe. Learn to hear first. First, learn to hear from Jesus Christ. Learn to hear first. Then we get to see. Let's go back to Paul for a moment and his road to Damascus experience. Now, last week we looked at it from Acts chapter 9. And I just want to look at one verse from Acts chapter 9. Then we're going to come back to Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 7, it says, and the men who journeyed with him, talking about Paul, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. So as Paul, having that experience, is knocked to the ground, and he sees the light, and he hears the voice of Jesus. But those men who were with him, they saw the light, but here's what it says. I want you to notice the difference. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Now, let's go back to Acts 22. Look at verse 9, because it adds more depth of understanding of what happened and the experience of those men. Because too often we wind up being those men who were there with Paul, instead of being Paul who hears directly the voice of the Lord. Jesus speaks to each one of us. He wants us to hear. We are designed and created with the ability to hear his voice. So in Acts 22, verse number 9, it says, and those who were with me indeed saw the light, and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. Those men who were with Paul, they saw clearly. They saw clearly, but they didn't hear clearly. They could hear, but they couldn't hear the voice of Jesus. They heard a voice, but they couldn't understand what was being said. Only Paul could. How often is that kind of a summary for our daily Christian walk? We can kind of know that Jesus is speaking to us, but we have a hard time understanding what he's saying to us. He wants us to hear and understand the intimate details of his guidance, of his love, of his direction, of just his being with us. He wants us to fully experience that. He wants us to be involved with that. As we've already learned, Jesus is speaking to you. And you are hearing Jesus. This is a fact. This is an indisputable fact. He's speaking to you, and you are hearing. But it comes down to this. We have to become sensitive to his voice. We have to learn to recognize his voice. However, if we're like these men, that we hear the voice, but we don't recognize the words or understand what Jesus is saying, then it benefits us not at all. He's speaking to us. He's designed us to hear and to understand his words. This is the expectation that each one of us should have on a daily basis. And that's exciting. It's exciting that he loves you so much, that he's got things to say to you. You know, Don and I have become, you know, when you're married for 33 years, that was a close one. I wasn't ready for that, man. I put myself out in that one. We've been married for 33 years. And you know, sometimes when you're married for that long, you can just sit and not say anything. Now, we tend to talk a lot, but I mean, there's times you can be comfortable without having to say things. When you're not comfortable with somebody, there always has to be some kind, you know what I'm saying? You always have to have conversation. But when you're comfortable with someone, there doesn't have to be. It's just awe-inspiring to me that even when I'm just sitting and not even thinking about things, Jesus wants to talk to me. He always has something to say to me. There's never a moment that he doesn't have something to say to you. And it's for your good. It's for your blessing. It's for your encouragement. It's for your guidance. It's for you just to know that Jesus loves you. This is what he has for us. This is what he expects. This is what we can have. And this is what we should have. Now, let's go and look at another verse. This is Mark chapter 4, verse number 23. Mark 4, 23 says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, this is Jesus speaking. So Jesus is saying this to you. Now, when we see the word here that says has, okay, so when we see the word there says has there actually means to have and to hold. And remember this, has in this word, he that has ears to hear, has means continually possessing. This is what you have. You continually possess what? Ears. Ears here means directly to understand. You continually possess the spiritual ears to understand everything that he is saying to you every moment of the day, every moment of your life. That's awesome. That's incredible. You should be smiling. That should make you happy. He loves you that much. Remember, we are designed as new creations. We are designed with spiritual ears to hear his voice and to know his voice. You already have laid hold of this hearing. It's already in your possession. Now, we just have to continue to possess. We have to determine, make the determination that we will continue to possess the ability to recognize and understand the voice of Jesus in our hearing. Does it make sense? Am I going too fast for anybody? Let's continue on from there. Because Jesus tells us more as we go through those verses right after Mark chapter 4, verse number 23. Let's read 23, 24, and 25. Because in there we're going to see even more of Jesus teaching us about our ears to hear. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible again. "If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend." Wow. Well, there it is, right there. I mean, that all spells it out right there. If you have ears, if you make the determination, then let him hear. Nothing is holding you back from hearing his voice. And let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, "Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear." That's good news. "For him who has will more be given. And from him who has nothing, even more will be taken away by force." We are told there that we have to take heed to what we hear. Now, I absolutely love what I'm about to share with you. I mean, this excites me, and I hope it does the same thing for you. In the Greek, the word that is used that we see in that phrase that we saw for "be careful," in the Greek, the word that is used for "be careful" actually means this. It means literally this: to be able to see. Huh. Now, we're talking about how we have to hear first and then we can see. So it says, be careful. So it says, to be able to see. Now, if we read that in that verse, if we read it that way in the verse, this is what it says. To be able to see what you are hearing. Wow, what are you hearing? When Jesus is speaking to you, what are you hearing? You're hearing good things. You're hearing things that will help you. You're hearing things that will protect you. You're hearing things that will let you know the depth of his love for you that the flesh can't even begin to understand, but you'll be able to hear it. To be able to see what you are hearing. So if I am able to see, to be able to see it, I can then hear it. So essentially what this is saying is to be able to see what you are hearing, measure what you hear. So the more that I hear, the more that I see. The more that I learn to hear, the more that I'm going to see all of those things that are promised to me. I'm going to see them. So the more that I give myself over to hearing his voice, the more that I'm going to understand the word of God, and the more I'm going to see the word actually realized and demonstrated in my life. I'm going to see all of those promises demonstrated. That is exciting to me. Somebody act like you're really excited by that. Because that really, yes, that really, I love that. That is liberating, and that's freedom. This is the things that he's given us. See, when you listen to the things of the world, but you fail to listen to the voice of God, that then becomes the measuring stick by which it's going to be determined how much revelation you walk in your life. The reason there's not a lot of revelation in the church today is because we are trained to hear the world, but we're not trained to hear his voice. And yet his voice is speaking to you even now, speaking to us at all times. This is the richness. This is the advantage. This is the joy of being able to hear his voice. Now let me use another example. I'm going to use the Sadducees as an example. Everybody knows who the Sadducees are, right? So the Sadducees were that priestly sect. They were the ones who did most of the service in the temple. But the Sadducees during the times of Jesus, and here when it was Paul, the Sadducees had gotten to a place where they were passing on the position of temple service. They were passing it on to their children as more than inheritance. It was as an entitlement. It wasn't based upon any merit. It wasn't based upon the children's ability or passion for the Lord. The Sadducees were also the ones who were the liaisons to the much hated and despised Romans. The Sadducees, rather than representing the people to God, which is what their responsibility was, the Sadducees had become more concerned about power and wealth. They were considered the aristocracy of the priesthood. And for all these reasons, they were detested by the common Jews living in Jerusalem. Now, listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says. We're going to read this. I'm going to show this to you from the, I love it in the Common English Version. This is what Jeremiah says about shepherds. And it's a foreshadowing of more than just the Sadducees. But when you read this, you can see this is talking exactly about the Sadducees. This was what their problem was. So Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 21. The shepherd kings have lost their senses and don't seek answers from the Lord. That's why they have failed and their flock is scattered. The Sadducees had lost their senses. They no longer had the desire or the ability to hear the things of God. And as a result, the flock was scattered. I thank Jesus every day for the men and women that I continually learn from. I thank Jesus for them all the time. But ultimately, it is my responsibility alone. It's my responsibility to hear the voice of Jesus. I cannot rely on hearing from him exclusively through others. I have to hear the voice of Jesus myself. This is my responsibility. You know, many religious leaders, when you look at the body of Christ today, many religious leaders, they have lost their senses. They've lost the sense of hearing. They no longer have the desire or the ability to hear from God. And as a result, you see the flock gets scattered. Many religious leaders have compromised the word of God so that they would be acceptable to the body of Christ. It's that kind of thing. That's what causes the flock to be scattered. That's why you see attendance in churches across this country on the decline. Listen, we need, as individuals, we need to learn to have ears to hear Jesus ourselves. I promise you, I listened to the Holy Spirit before I put these messages together. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit right up until like 2 hours before I'm here giving it. I'm continually hearing, and there are sometimes, and this is not unusual, usually on Saturday nights, the Holy Spirit will actually have me change a word or two, specific words, because there's another word that more precisely conveys the message that he's trying to convey. But I say all that because I want you to know, I'm listening because it's a joy for me to share the word with you. I love sharing the word. But if the only time that you hear Jesus is on Sunday mornings from me, that's not enough. It's each one of us. We have the responsibility to hear the voice of Jesus in our lives. And there's so much richness there if that's what our hunger and that's what our passion would be. Amen? All right, so last week we spent a lot of time considering the physical ear. I'm going to do it one more time this week. We spent a lot of time considering the physical ear because I was able to draw some parallels from our natural hearing so we can understand better our spiritual hearing. So I want to one more time look at our physical ear because it's going to help us to understand our spiritual hearing. Now, I told you that I had some things. I wanted some pictures that I was going to show you last week, but I couldn't find any pictures that were just not too disgusting. But I did find this one illustration, which is really very helpful, and it's just an illustration. So with this picture, this is what I want us to see and understand. What's happening? This is our physical ear. As God created the physical ear with that amazing precision and sensitivity to hear, if he did that for the physical ear, what is he going to do for our spiritual ear? So as we understand how we hear in the natural realm, it helps us to understand how we can hear Jesus in our spiritual ears as well. So, sound itself. Here's how you hear. You hear because there are sound waves, and sound waves travel through the air or through the atmosphere. And those sound waves travel through your ear canal. And then right here, we talked a lot last week about the eardrum. This is your eardrum. So the sound waves travel through the air. They cause your eardrum to vibrate. And remember, we saw that your eardrum is so sensitive, God created it to be so sensitive, that your eardrum can actually perceive a vibration against it that moves the eardrum less than the diameter of a molecule of hydrogen. And your eardrum perceives that. Again, I emphasize, if he gave you in your natural hearing that kind of precision and sensitivity, what is the precision and sensitivity he gave us to hear his voice? So it then vibrates the eardrum. After it vibrates the eardrum, those vibrations then go through these bones. So it comes through the air, and then the vibrations go to the bone. Okay, science class, who remembers? These are the three smallest bones in the body. Who remembers? Yes, Stapes is right. Stapes is their name for stirrup. So this is the hammer. This is the anvil. You guys did good. Man, I'm really impressed. And then this is the stirrup. So sound waves come through the air, vibrate your eardrum. The eardrum vibrates. It causes these bones to vibrate. The final vibration comes through here, the stirrup. Then the stirrup, as it vibrates, it actually influences and vibrates this. This is the inner ear. This is what we talked about last week. This is where your balance is at. This is filled with, there's three chambers here, and it's filled with liquid. It's filled with fluid. So sound waves come through the air, they move through bone, then they move through water before those signals are sent to your brain as something you can understand. Now, here's the curious thing. Sound has to travel through three very different mediums in order to create sound that you can hear and understand. It has to go through air, it has to go through bone, and it has to go through water. That's kind of curious. And here's the interesting thing. Each one of those mediums has varying degrees of efficiency in transferring sound. Why does God create us, create sound that has to go through three mediums before we can hear it? Sound reaches our eardrums through air. We saw last week, air is a very good conduit. It conducts sound waves very well. But then it has to go through bone. Bone is a different medium. Sound doesn't travel well through bone. So we learned those things last week. This week I'm going to focus on this. Because the final thing is, sound waves travel through water. Through the liquid, the water that is in your ear. Now, why does God do it that way? Why did he set it up that way? I'm not an anatomist, so I can't answer the physiological question for that. However, I have seen there's spiritual parallels here that are really encouraging. So sound travels through air, it travels through bone, and it travels through water. Then those signals are sent to the brain so that the brain can understand and perceive it as sounds that we recognize. Now, let's look specifically at the water for just a moment. Because sound travels really well through water. But it travels and you receive it with a different impedance. What does that mean? Think of it this way. You know that sound travels well through water. I mean, I think it's pretty common knowledge. But if you're listening to somebody's voice talking to you while you're in the pool under the water, yeah, what does that voice sound like? You can hear that there's sound. You might even be able to tell it's a voice. But what does it sound like? It's muddled, and you can't comprehend. It's totally incoherent. It's because it has a different impedance. That's the way that God set it up. Now, we'll talk about that in more in just a few moments, but I want us to see why God set it up as those three different sounds and how they represent. So we have air, we have bone, and we have water. So air. The air represents the atmosphere. This is to remind us of how God speaks to us. Air represents the atmosphere. In other words, it represents Jesus' ability. It demonstrates his ability to be able to speak to us through different realms, from one realm to the other. He speaks to us from the spiritual realm, which is one atmosphere, into the natural realm, which is another atmosphere, in a way that we can hear it and understand it and comprehend it. That's one. Now here's the second one. The second one is bone. Sound travels through bone. That's to remind us or make us aware that we need to get our natural mind out of the way. Because bone represents the flesh, it represents the carnal, it represents that which is natural. Listen, the more that I'm able to continually possess that ability to recognize and understand the voice of Jesus in my hearing, the more that I can do that, the more that he can get through this thick skull of mine and I can hear the things that he's saying to me. So he has air. That's to demonstrate to us he can speak to us through different atmospheres. The bone is to remind us, get your flesh out of the way so I can get through that thick skull of yours and you can hear what I have to say. You know, last week, because that's true, that's so that when we come to that fork in the road that we talked about last week, when we come to that fork in the road, because I'm able to get the natural mind out of the way, I am then able to discern what is the direction and the way the Lord has for me as opposed to the direction and the way that the flesh has for me. Now, here's the final element, and it's in the physical ear, we saw that it has the liquid. So sound flows through the liquid, through the water that is in your ear. Jesus is the living water. And because of that, from him, we have rivers of living water that flow through us. Now, how is that significant with our hearing? Well, let's get a little background. This is John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 37, 38, and 39. This is Jesus as he is in Jerusalem. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Get a picture of that. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was yet to come, because Jesus had not yet been glorified." Jesus has now been glorified. The Holy Spirit is in us. The sound in your ear changes impedance. Remember, there's a different impedance from the natural to the water. It was a different impedance. So the sound in your ear changes impedance when it goes from bone to water. Why is that? Because as we just saw, when you're underwater, you can hear voices, but you can't understand them. You can't understand them unless that impedance is changed. And he's able to do that. If he can do that in our natural ear, he certainly does it in our spiritual hearing as well. And does that not sound like those men who were with Paul? They were there and they could hear his voice, but they couldn't understand. We have the ability, because the Holy Spirit is in us, we have the ability to hear and to fully understand. So this is the way that you picture it. The Holy Spirit that is in you has changed the spiritual impedance to a natural impedance so that Jesus can speak to you from the spiritual realm into the natural realm where you and I dwell and where you and I live so that we can understand what he's saying. Amen? Does that make sense? But you still have to make the determination that you want to hear. In the same way, just as sound travels well through water, listen to this. Remember this if you've read everything else. Just as sound travels well through water, so the voice of Jesus Christ himself travels unimpeded through the living water of the Holy Spirit that is in you, so that you can hear and understand his voice as he is speaking to you, even as he is speaking to you right now, here, in this place. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, 8 times in the New Testament, that phrase, 8 times that phrase is said. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. 8 times. Can you think of any other phrase in the Bible? Maybe there is. Can you think of any other phrase in the Bible that in that short of a period of time is mentioned 8 times? That kind of lets you know the importance of how Jesus feels about that. He, you, that has ears, you've been given the ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is saying there's nothing that impedes you or in any way keeps you from being able to hear his voice. Because you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. And part of that new creation design is you've been given a spiritual ear to hear. You can hear with precision and sensitivity all the things that Jesus says to you because the Holy Spirit is in you and he flows through that water. He flows through that. He's given you the ability to hear. He's given you the equipment to hear. We just have to make the determination and believe that we can and do and will hear his voice. And I will tell you, I'm sure you've experienced this yourself, without the ability to hear his voice speaking to us, it is virtually impossible to live an overcoming and victorious life in Jesus. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen? Let's close with praise and worship. Stand up and let's praise together.